WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Good morning, bride. Good morning. All right, listen, I want us to take a minute to pray. Let me turn my camera. Hold on a minute. Much better. Okay. All right, listen, I want us to take a minute to pray this morning. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. I'm excited about this today. This idol that we're tearing down is one that God has really got me for many times. Let me fix this. The Lord has rebuked me for this bride many times about trying to make up my own plans. That's what the Lord has rebuked me for. Trying to make my own plans. Trying to figure him out. Putting him in a box. And that's what we do a lot. Both in the church and in our personal life. So this is the idol that we're tearing down today. Trying to make plans on our own. Okay? Well, my little man, my phone is dead. I didn't know it was dead. Okay, well, we're going to pray, but let's go ahead and turn over to Genesis 11. We're going to learn about the Tower of Babel and how man tried to make his own plans, and we're going to learn what happened. All right. So, Genesis 11. Okay, bride, remember, I like to use the King James Version in my Bible studies, the King James. And remember, it's because of what I learned about the Catholics. And how the devil tried to, how the Catholics tried to kill King James 4 or 5 times because he was bringing the truth to us. He was bringing the word of God to the average common man. And they did not want that because they wanted everybody to go to them, to the mother church. Oh, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. My set I see now is a little bit crooked back here, so I will line that up for tomorrow's broadcast. Okay, well, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for correcting us, molding us, shaping us into the men and women of God that you have called us to. Lord, thank you that you are maturing us as your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, and help us to always have a heart to be corrected and to be put into right position. Help us for our hearts to be soft before you, Lord, to grow and learn. Help us to always be learners, Lord, and to not be stubborn goats like sinners. Help us to be moldable and shapeable by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so listen, Bride, today we are tackling the idol of man-made plans. The like I put that scripture up, the plans of man. It is right here. Let me just read you a few scriptures. James 4:13-15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Psalm 33:10. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations and he frustrates the plans of his people. Proverbs 19:21. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Proverbs 16:9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. This is good. Genesis 11, that's what we're about to read. Jeremiah 22:13-14. Woe to him who builds his house without righteousness and his upper rooms without justice, who uses his neighbor's services without pay and does not give him his wages. Luke 12:18. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Basically, we're taking human reasoning, human understanding, and trying to figure God out. We're trying to make our own plans and trying to establish them, when God may have a totally different plan. This is the whole key of this idol today. If we will but just ask. When I moved here, Bride, when I moved to this home, it sounds funny, but I asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you help me to decorate this home? And do you know what he did, Bride? He did. He would give me ideas. Just ideas would just pop in my head. Well, why don't you put this over here? And why don't you move this here? And do, you know, like, he likes being involved in the everyday aspect of humanity, in the everyday life of the Christian. A lot of times we feel like we can only have the Holy Spirit when we have like big needs like marriage, birth, death, you know, type of deal. No. He is, when I train children, I teach them, he is the best superpower on planet Earth. He is better than Batman. He's better than Superman. He's better than all of them. Because he's always available. He is real. He knows what you need. He knows how everything is done. So all the Lord wants is for you to ask. Ask him. Lord, I'm planning on going to Washington, D.C. the end of February. What would you like me to do in Washington, D.C.? Or when you get up in the morning? Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day today. What would you like me to do today? Lord, I'm planning on building this house. How would you like me to build this house? You know, asking him, putting him in the equation, instead of us making our own plans and trying to figure it all out ourselves. See the difference? It's man thinking versus God including. That is the plans of man. Okay? So let's continue with the scripture. All right, so... Okay, James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Okay, and then... All right, well, that's it with that. Hallelujah. Okay, let's turn to Genesis 11. We're going to study the Tower of Babel this morning. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go. See, they're making all their own plans, right? They're saying, go to let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Wow, sounds like pride, don't it, bride? Where they're doing it on their own. And the Lord came down to see the city. Wow, they got his attention. He was not happy, was he, bride? Wow. Remember, bride, when I taught you about the judgments, how God did in the Old Testament about judgment. There's many ways that God hears about things. He hears, he sees, and he smells. It can be a stench. He can see and it be disgusting, or he can hear and then have to go check this out. So, this is what it says here. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to and let us go down. Let us, the Trinity, come on. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord there confounded the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Isn't that something? They tried to do the plans on their own. I encourage you, bride, when God gives you a plan, I'm going to go over here. I feel led to go over here to Colossians chapter 3. When God gives you a plan, okay, when he downloads a seed into you, whether it's a vision, a mission, a business, when God downloads it, he wants to be a part of fertilizing. He's the father of it, right? He wants to participate in that seed's life. That's like when I gave y'all the encouragement yesterday based upon my communication skills and what I do for a living, websites, graphic design, logos, and all that. I told you. I said, this is just some advice on how to name your business. Your ministry. Do not name your ministry after yourself, because it's not your ministry. It's God's ministry, okay? So ask God, what's the name of this baby? Because God may want you to give that baby to somebody else. See, this is the age and the place that we're going to, bride. God wants us to be conduits. He wants us to be transferers. He doesn't want us to be hoarders and hoarding everything ourselves. Keeping everything and thinking we own anything. We don't own nothing, bride. Not one thing. God wants to be the master and the Lord of all. He may tell you, I want you to give your phone to Joe over here. I want you to give your house to Jane over here. I want you to give your car over here. And then God put $1 million in your pocket. Okay, I want you to give this here, this here, this here, this here, and this here. I want you to be a conduit. But see, the natural side of man wants to say, mine, mine, all mine. I want it all. That is the natural side of man. But God wants to be the person that does all the planning. He wants us to see him and to ask him what to do with this. You see what I'm saying? So let's go over here to Colossians. All right, Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek ye these things which are above. All right. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Okay. Set your affections on things above. Set your affections on things above and not on the things that are in the earth. Which means your money's going to go where your mouth is. Money is going to go where your heart is. Your mouth is going to go where your heart is. If the Lord, you can look at somebody's profile and tell what their God is just about. Because you can see where their heart's passions are. They're reflecting it to the world. You know, But he's saying, set your affections on things above and not on the earth. And for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's why when I was saying yesterday about naming your ministry after, not naming it after yourself, because you are not the reflection of it, God is. And he has a name for that, and he may have another purpose down the road. One day, when I'm building this media ministry, radio, television, and publishing, the Lord may tell me one day, I want you to give this to somebody else, and I want you to go off and do something else. Let me tell you something. When we make a God out of our ministry, which is our idol number 40, God may take that ministry from us. Yes, we can make a God out of our own ministry. Why? It's like our children. God gives us the seed. We birth it in. We plow it. We protect it. We move it, mold it, shape it, you know, and do all this stuff to cultivate this. It's our baby because the Lord gave it to us and it's our baby. The problem is, do we want to hold that baby too much? Have we made that baby an idol like he did with Abraham and Isaac? The Lord may want you. We're coming to the day, bride, where he's going to do that. He's going to ask people, I want you to hand your whole ministry over. I want you to hand your house over. I want you to hand your car over. Because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So he's about to do a whole lot of moving and shaking in the kingdom. But if we're not in tune, if we're not in the vein of it, and we're not allowing him to be a conduit because we've made these idols that are coming in between us and his will on earth, he's going to shred those idols. He's going to tear those idols down. So today the idol is, you know, the reasoning of, I want to hoard. I want to make my own plans. I want to figure God out myself. I want to program him to death. I want to say, like say if I'm a pastor, I want to run the church like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I want everybody in town to go to all these programs so they don't have time for their family. They don't have time to figure out what they're called to do because it's all about my ministry. You know what I mean? Like programming and not asking God, having God included. What is God saying? What does God want? You know, that's the whole point of this idol today. Include God in your programs. Include him in your life. This is one of my biggest ones, is trying to figure him out. Because I am a planner. My natural self being communications, I'm a planner. I try to figure things out on my own. God wants to strip that, see? He wants to strip that to where he is the one, where I have to. Okay, Lord, what is your plan? And another thing, bride, that the Lord has taught me over the years, is that when we ask him for something, and he says no, because our plans require that we do it this way. You see what I mean? And he says no, then we have to trust him that he knows what he's doing. I'll give you a good example. I had this one city I was in, and it kept coming against me and coming against me and coming against me. And I made this plan to have a revival, and I had all these people coming from out of state for this revival, okay? Did you know where I was going to do it was 20 minutes from an interstate? Man, I feel the fire of God right now. It was 20 minutes from an interstate. I had reserved it, signed the contract on it, and everything on this building. And let me tell you what God did. At the last minute, like 2 days before the event, after all this advertising and I've done told everybody, they called me and said, we put somebody else in that arena. Yes. Shut me down. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no money to get another place or nothing. I'm like, what am I going to do, Lord? Well, then this minister called and was talking to me and she said, well, I'll pay for you a hotel. So we called a hotel and we reserved a room. Okay, we reserved a room at a hotel for this revival. Guess what happened, bride? My mom died that night. If I was not by the interstate, this hotel that I happened to get in another city was right by the interstate and only 30 minutes from my mother, who just fell and had a brain where a brain bleed. See what I mean? If I would have got so mad at God because all these things disrupted my plans to hold this revival in this one town, and then frustrated my plans, and then maybe I would have canceled and been all bitter and may have shut my phone off. You know what I mean? See how the devil does? May have shut my phone off so that I did not get the call that my mom was dying. But because the Lord's plans were better than my plans, this is what happened. I was in the revival, about to go live. I had my phone like right here. And I was just fixing to hit live, and I got a call from my brother. Mom is in a coma, and we have to make a decision right now. Do we want to do surgery or what? See? If I would have not been in the right place at the right time, I would not have been able to be a part of that decision. God is beautiful. His plans are amazing. So because of what I've learned from the Lord about changing my plans, now I have this philosophy. Lord, I love you when you say yes, and I love you when you say no. Because your plans are better than my plans. Obviously, you changed it because you want me to do something else. When I got hit in Houston, when I was doing the national tour, and I had no money to get me from Houston up to the state of Washington, when I had to go down to the border of Mexico, all up the side of Texas, all through New Mexico, through the desert, all through Arizona, you know what I'm saying? When I had to go through all these places and then all up to the border of California, driving by the ocean all the way up to Washington. I'm like, Lord, I have no money. What am I going to do? Well, I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden, bam, this woman hits my car right on the driver's side. And so I'm like, you know, all shaking. I get out. Immediately I knew this was an interception by God. So come to find out, this woman that hit me was a Muslim. She was a college girl, a Muslim. The Lord used that opportunity of her hitting me to give me $1,900 the next day to get to Washington State and to pray for this girl who was a Muslim. Come on now. His plans are higher than our plans. His plans are better than our plans. That one accident funded my whole trip as far as all my hotels all the way to the state of Washington. Because you know what it did to my car, Bride? Scratches. I mean, it hardly even damaged it. It was drivable. It was good. God is amazing. His plans are higher than our plans. Another thing for us to trust the Lord is for us to let our pride go like this and go like this. We have to go low. Okay, Lord. You're changing the plans. It's not about my reputation. I've had to talk to myself a lot about this, Bride. You know? Because of what I do, being led by missions, my life is missions. So like, okay, I know for the next 40 days, the Lord has got me secluded in this house. I'm set apart, consecrated. 40 days in this house of prayer and this team and all this other stuff. The next plan, Washington, D.C., the end of February, in the middle, work on that book. You see what I mean? I had these plans, but God can change them anytime He wants. He is God Almighty. And that's how I live my life. He can wake up in the morning and tell me, okay, I want you to go here and go there. He did. When I traveled the nation, that's how He led me the whole time, was by dreams. In the hour, Bride, that we are going into, with the judgment coming to the church, great distress coming to the nation, okay? I've told y'all some of it through my books I've written. These things that are coming, you're going to have to trust the Lord with your plans. You're going to have to trust Him day to day. We cannot build, in other words, it's our expectations, okay? Our expectations of what God should do and how it should be done based upon our history and our rational minds and our humanistic thinking. We're going to have to drop that, because what is coming is going to require radical obedience, radical thinking, out of the box, where God says, I want you to get in your car, and I want you to drive to Arizona today, and I want you to take this word, and I want you to deliver it in person to this person. And you get in your car with no money for gas, and you say, yes, Lord. And then you drive to a gas station, and the Lord tell you, sit right here. And somebody knock on your door. The Lord told me to fill up your car with gas. You go up to the gas station, let them fill that car up with gas, and you head to Arizona. You've got to let God be in control of your plans. You've got to let God lead you and guide you every day. Get out of our finite thinking and putting God in a box. God, you must look like this. We must act like this. We must do this way, because of the way that we've always known. We did this idol the other day of tradition. This has a lot to do with it, tradition. But it's in our minds putting God in a box. God wants way out of that box. Way out. We are so far from where God wants us to be for what is coming. But God is preparing His bride. He's shaping us, molding us, correcting us, rebuking us, chastising us, putting us in our place, whipping us a little bit, saying, okay, children, get back in line. Get back on the narrow path that I meant for you to be in. Get back on this holiness track. Separate yourselves. Keep yourselves out of the world. It says right here in Colossians. Let me read it again, just in case you don't know. Chapter 3, verse 3 in Colossians. For you are dead. Wait a minute. I'm dead? Yes. Which means June Knight no longer exists. She's dead. Why? Because of the rest of the scripture. Your life is hid in Christ. With Christ in God. What does it mean to be hidden in Christ? Well, it means that I'm in this bubble. And I've had people tell me this, Bride, this is funny. They'll say, you live in a bubble, you know. I'm like, yeah, I pretty much do. Because if you've ever backslid, you know what it's like to be outside that bubble. Come on now. I've been backslid, Bride. I know what it's like. And I'm going to tell you what this is just my interpretation of what it's like in the world without God. Well, you know that through your rebellion, you backslid because you don't want to pay the price that God requires of your life for the calling He's given you. This is me. I fought that man for 20 years over this calling because he required absolutely everything. Okay? And I didn't want to give it to him. Anyways, so I'm out there doing my thing. I'm still going to church. I'm flirting with it. But I'm still, you know, keeping my hand dabbling over here in these things I wanted to. Because I didn't want to die, basically. So, while you're out here, though, you're like, you can literally feel the wolves. It is different. You know you don't have that protection. But this is what you're thinking. I kind of like it this way because I like being in control of my life. This was me thinking to myself. I like having a life that I can drive down the road and do what I plan to do. If I'm going to the doctor, I'm going to the doctor. When I sell out to the Lord, I have no control over myself. I have told a minister this before. I have no control over myself. Because I'll be driving to the doctor and the Lord to say, turn right, turn left, turn right, go to that house right there. I want you to knock on the door. There's a man in that house, and I want you to give him a word. I go to the door, knock, knock, knock. This big old burly man comes to the door. Yes. Sir, I don't know you. I was on my, way to the doctor, and the Lord told me to stop here and to give you a word and to pray for you. He's like, okay. Listen, bride, this really happened to me many, many times. The Lord disrupted my plans. So I prayed for that man, and a word would come out. And what the Lord would do is he would show me where it was. He would show me the literal root of what separated them from God. That offense that happened when they was a kid, the Lord would show me. And I would say, sir, the Lord says that this happened and this happened when you was a kid, and we're going to pray for healing. And the man would literally drop to his knees weeping. Yes. But the problem was, I had to give up my life to get that. You see what I'm saying? I had no control over my plans. So, when I'm out there with the world, I can build my kingdom, still be in church, everybody think I'm doing good, but I'm building my kingdom, driving my brand new car and doing things the way I wanted to do it. You know what I'm saying? Non-suffering style, basically, is the truth. So when I surrendered totally, I was able to say, okay, Lord, you can have your plans. I will give up my life and do like Colossians 3:3 said right here. My life is now hidden in you. After that, the old you and I died a long time ago. Now it's the Lord doing the planning. And let me tell you something, it's not easy. It is not easy. You have to live a life of, I call it a reckless abandonment, but it means willing to move, change. See, a lot of us, we don't want to change because we get so set in our ways. And we expect God to do it this way, and we think man will accept us this way, and this is how society does it. This is how culture does it, and this is the way it is. You know what I'm saying? But God's plans is may be a lot different. And he may tell you, look, I want you to do it like this, even though the whole grain is going the other way. You know, when the Lord first started showing me about the judgment coming, it was terrible in my heart. Because I'm like, Lord, I don't hear nobody saying this out here. Everybody's hollering, peace, peace. What in the world is going on? So I started putting it on Facebook. The Lord showed me persecution's coming. Martyrdom's coming to the bride. Famine's coming. Get ready, get ready. Non-follow. People just started dropping off left and right. I'm like, well, these are your plans, Lord. They're going to happen. So help me to just steward it right and to obey you. So, bride, listen, the whole point today of this idol is for us to allow the Lord in on our plans. Ask him every day. Like, when you have a project, just ask him, Lord, how do you want this done? And then trust him to lead you and guide you through it. If he frustrates your plans and puts a block in there, it's because he has another way. Let me tell you, bride, when I'm on the road, when I'm on a mission, and the Lord does this, I've learned him by now. I've learned how he works. I was leaving that church, the Angelus Temple in Los Angeles. Oh, man, that was my dream come true, bride. The Lord gave me all my dream come trues in the nation. When I went to all these cities, I would say, can I go here? And he'd always do it for me. So I left the Angelus Temple. I was on a high. Oh my gosh, my dream come true. Amy Simple McPherson, I was able to stand in her church. How awesome is this? So I'm leaving, and all of a sudden, I went down the wrong road, and I ended up on a dead-end street. I'm like, how did that happen? My map said go here. You see what I mean? So there was a homeless man over there on the side of the road with a cart with a bunch of stuff in it. So I wrote down my car and I was like, you want me to minister to this man. Everything is not an accident. God has a purpose for it. If we will learn as ministers that even the off-roads, even the accidental things are not accidents. God is gearing you over here because there's somebody there that needs ministry. There's something over here that God wants you to either address in the spirit and tear down that devil. Oh, I've got so many stories I could tell you, Brad. I rolled my window down in Los Angeles. I said, "Sir, how are you doing today?" And he said, "Fine." I said, "Hey, listen, I said, I'm here in Los Angeles. I'm with a TV show, and I'm doing a documentary on a national tour. I said, I would love to interview you if you'll let me." Because I was trying to get some interviews of homeless people in Los Angeles, you know, because I was doing Skid Row and all this other exciting stuff there, you know. So the man allowed me to interview him. And then I was able to interview him and then pray for him. And I was able to give him one of my books. You know, listen, Brian, the thing about writing books is not to be a millionaire. You're writing books because they're ministry tools. It's really amazing. I've given away so many books. And the different subjects that the Lord has me write on, there'll be different people that need those subjects, and then I just give it to them. And of course, you know, when you go to meetings, you're able to sell them to get gas money and whatnot, you know. But mostly it's for ministry. So another story that I wanted to tell you about God changing plans was in New York City. This is so funny, Brian. New York City. I wanted to go to Trump Towers and I wanted to pray for the president. And this national tour company that I was riding with to tour the city did not have it on there. And I told the Lord the night before when I reserved this thing, I said, "Lord, I really want to go to Trump Towers." I said, "I asked the bride, where do you want me to pray in New York City? And I will do a live broadcast from there and we can pray together." Because as y'all know, I feel like we're sharing, okay? When God takes me somewhere, I bring you with me. You know, like when I was on top of the New York City, the Lord blessed me to be on top of a big tower in New York City, and I was able to overlook the city at night with all the gorgeous lights. I was able to show you, and you was able to see Ground Zero and the water and the Statue of Liberty and all the beautiful things in New York City. But what God did for me is he allowed the owner of the company to come pick me up at my hotel in New Jersey. God's favor is amazing. That man come and pick me up. And he's like, "What are you doing in New York City today?" And I told him, "Well, you know, I'm on this national tour and I'm praying all through the city and I'm going live and I'm showing the world." And he said, "Well, where do you want to go that is not on our list?" And I told him, Trump Towers. He gets on the phone with my bus driver. "Listen, when you pass Trump Towers, you're to drop this woman off in front of Trump Towers, and then she will meet with you later. 10-4. 10-4, sir. Bam! In your face, devil. When God wants to do something, he will work it out. The bus dropped me off in front of Trump Towers. Well, there was a man on the bus. He was a Vietnam veteran. And he knew that I was getting off the bus specifically to pray for the President of the United States. So I got off the bus, stood in front of Trump Towers, and I went live. Oh, man, I know my face was beaming from here to Mexico. I was so excited. I am standing in my dream come true. I'm standing in front of Trump Towers in New York City, for heaven's sake. You know? So I'm going live and I'm like, "Y'all, I'm live here in front of Trump Towers praying for the President of the United States." I said, "What an awesome, awesome blessing this is." And I was like, "Let's pray for our president." And I did. I prayed for the president in New York City in Trump Towers. So
Let me tell my feet, Brad, after walking through New York City all day, a big woman is not easy. I thought my feet were going to fall off by the end of the day. But I finally caught up with the bus about an hour later. I get on the bus and I walk by the Vietnam veteran. And listen, Brad, this will just make you cry. This man looked at me and just so serious. He said, "Ma'am, thank you for praying for our president." And I looked at this man, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, thank you, sir. You know, I was so honored. Because to me, he recognized that I'm a soldier in the army of the living God, like he's a soldier for the United States of America. So that was pretty awesome. But the point that I'm trying to make today, Brad, if God changes your plans, it's for a purpose. Instead of getting mad and frustrated, ask him, "Lord, you moved me to this city. What do you want me to do here? You know, like, you changed my plans, so there's a reason for it, Lord. What do you want me to do?" And the Lord will tell you. He has a purpose and a reason for everything, Brad. When I left Texas, I'm probably getting close to the end of time. I'm going to have to close up. But when I left Texas a year and a half ago, I didn't know my mom was fixing to die. I didn't know she only had 6 months left. But the Lord shut me down from traveling and put me back home with my mom. And he gave me 6 months with my mother. And I was able to be with her the day he took her home. I was able to hold her head in my arms. You know, instead of me being on the road, the Lord gave me that as a gift. He changed my plans. He puts you where he wants you to be because he has a reason. After my mom passed is when he launched me. He takes care of business and he does it right when you obey him. He allows you to be in places so he can bless you. Don't be frustrated when he changes it. Trust him. He has a plan for it. He has a much bigger plan than we do. And see, a lot of times because we put him in a box, we limit ourselves to one city or to one place because we think this is as big as it's ever going to get. But when God's in it, he's huge. He's massive. He's global. He's beyond our imagination. He will give you visions that are so beyond yourself, it would only take him to do it. That's how you know it's God. If you cannot do it on your own and it's going to take God, it's God. Don't give up on it just because it looks so big and impossible. God is the one that will line you up. And see, here's the thing. When God tells you, go down this street and meet this homeless man. Go over here. I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was so tired. The day before, I had walked all through New York City, and my feet were blistered, Brad. I mean, hurting beyond belief. So the next day, I'm driving to Washington, D.C. I was on the end of my tour, 6 month tour, and I was done. Finally, I'm done with this tour. Living on the road by faith, having to trust God for every morsel I ate. And every piece of gas that went in that car was all faith. On my way to Washington, D.C., I said, I'm not doing another thing. I'm driving to Washington, D.C. I'm done with this tour. I'm going home and I'm propping my feet up. And I am resting for a month. I'm not answering the phone. I'm not going to do nothing. And then I'm driving through this town. And I look and I see the devil all in this town, Brad. The Lord, he has showed me about cities and how demons, how they work in cities and all this other kind of stuff while I was on the road. He had me pray over a lot of cities because he showed me how the soul of a city is type of deal. I'm driving through a city. I'm exhausted. And I look and I see the old devil. I see old Slewfoot in this city. I looked over, and all on the side of this wall was all this satanic graffiti. I felt that darkness because the Lord has showed me how he gives me signs when I'm in gross darkness. So it's one of them's a heaviness on my chest. So I'm like, I see you, yo devil. I'm driving through there, and all of a sudden, coming in, I was in three lanes of traffic on the far left, about to get on an interstate right here, like straight onto an interstate. I had my phone, which was my map, that took me all across the country. So it was telling me, you know, go straight. Well, all of a sudden, this woman in a wheelchair just starts coming in into oncoming traffic. She is in the middle of the lanes doing like this. She looked like she was strung out on drugs or something. And she's like pushing her wheelchair like this with one leg. And she's pushing herself right into oncoming cars. Cars are slamming on their brakes. Everybody's trying to miss this woman. I slam on my brakes. I'm like, what the world? You know, that's one of my sayings. What the world? And so I was like, what the world with this woman? And then I was like, Lord help this woman was my first reaction. Lord help this woman. She's going to get herself killed. So I called 911. I said, listen, I'm here at this intersection of so-and-so and so-and-so. And there's this woman riding her wheelchair right in the middle of oncoming traffic. This woman's going to get killed. Y'all need to get out of here, right? So I get off the phone with 911. All this is not calculating, right? Because it's just happening. I get up to the intersection, like, which way do I go? And bam, my phone did just like this. Went blank. Nothing. I'm like, which way do I go, Holy Spirit? Because I had to make a decision right then. So I heard, go right. So I pull the car over. I go right. Get on the interstate. Guess what he did? He turned me right back around to that woman where I saw that woman. I said, oh, you're wanting me to minister to this woman. You shut down my plans, my tour, my road on the way to Washington, D.C. You shut me down and said, I want you to minister to that woman. I said, all right, Lord, you bring that woman to me and I'll minister to her. So I pulled over on some little side road right there. I got out, put my phone on the car, and I went live. And this is what I did. I said, Bride, listen here. I'm in this town in near Pittsburgh. I can't remember the name of the town now. I said, I was driving through this town. The Lord showed me the gross darkness in this town. I said, I want you to agree with me, and we're going to tear this old devil down. And this is how I've learned to pray. I don't go in cities and just attacking devils. This is what God taught me. I went into the city, and I'm like this. In the name of Jesus, I come in agreement with every minister in this town that is tearing down this devil. You have been exposed, and now you got to come down in Jesus' name. I'm in partnership with heaven, and you better bow to the will of the living God, and you need to come down in Jesus' name. And so I'm praying this on the air, and I'm tearing down these devils, you know. And so I get off the air. I'm putting it in my car. I'm getting ready to get in my car and leave. And what do you know? There is that woman. Some man is pushing her in a wheelchair. And I'm seeing this woman walking, you know, being pushed down the road. And I'm hollering, ma'am, ma'am. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God shut my tour down to come and pray for you. Will you please come over here? And so she turned around to their man. And he said, they went and they brought her over there. He brought her to me. So she looked up at me. Listen, Bride. The Lord had showed me in the state of Washington about heroin. I watched a documentary about what heroin does to a face. It literally eats away the face. And it causes these like craters in faces. And it eats, you know, it's like holes and big bumps, and it's really sad, but it like eats away at the face. So I just watched that documentary like a week or so earlier. And so she looks at me with this hat on, and I saw all this heroin, all that on her face. And I looked at her, and I had so much compassion. And listen, this is what I told this woman. I said, ma'am,
I said, I know you don't know me. I said, but the Lord shut down my entire tour for you. You are that special, ma'am. The Lord wants me to pray for you because he's not done with you yet, honey. And then the fire of God come over me. I started prophesying to that woman. I was telling them, dry bones, you live. You spirit of drugs, you get out of this woman. Come on now in the mighty name of Jesus, because God has a plan for her. And I cancel all the plans of the enemy off this woman. And I was just praying. She was just a boo-hoo. Just a boo-hoo. So when I got finished with her, I told her, I said, ma'am, I want to give you one of my books. So I wanted to give her my life story, because, which is Testimony of the Broken Bride, Jesus is a True Husband. That one helps people that battle with codependency and battle with addictions and battle with life, you know, like want to know what your destiny is and all that kind of stuff. So, but I didn't have it because that's my best-selling book, so I ended up, you know, just giving her my Mark of the Beast book. But I ended up leaving there, and guess what happened, Bri? Guess what God did? Bam! In your face, my phone started working. When I finished the assignment that God told me to do, when he took me off course and told me to do something which frustrated my plans, now you're back on track, daughter. Thank you for taking care of my daughter over here. Now I'm going to get you to your destination. I had to do that in spite of my skin feeling like it's going to fall off from walking in New York City for 8 hours. You know, in the heat of the day, it was like 90 degrees. Their bathrooms are this little. When you use like a public bathroom, they're like this little and you don't see it. So it's very frustrating. But anyways, I was so exhausted, tired is not even the word for it. But the Lord gave me the strength when I needed it to minister to that woman in the wheelchair that was bound up on heroin, and to tear down those devils in that city. And then God sent me on to Washington, D.C. Let God have our plans. Let him frustrate them if he wants to. Because if God frustrates your plans, he has a purpose for it. Amen. All right, Bride. Well, I think I'm done with my Bible study today. I feel the peace and the release. That's how I know whenever I have pleased the Lord in assignments, is because I have this release. Like, okay, you're done. I'm happy with you. You know, I'm happy with you. Well done. I feel that, you know. So, I want to pray for y'all. If any of you are battling your own plans and refusing to let God have your plans, I'm going to pray for you. Because God wants to take you out of that box, Bride. He wants to take you out of that miry clay. He wants to take you out of your own expectations and anybody else's expectations. He wants to take you into the unknown. He wants to take you to New York City and to Los Angeles and all these different places. I mean, I'm not saying those places, but he wants to take you beyond yourself. In my old June night that tried to live all them years, I may have never been to Los Angeles. I may have never been to New York City or Washington, D.C. in my own self. But letting go and letting me hide in God, God took me there. Now I'm hid in him, hid in his presence and hid in his glory. See what I mean? So let's pray. Lord, I pray for all my friends watching this broadcast today, Lord. I just feel your presence. You're just so beautiful, Lord. And we thank you so much for correcting us again today and putting us in right alignment. And showing us, Lord, where we have erred in ourselves. Lord, like the children did with the Tower of Babel, when they were trying to make their own plans and figure it all out, and trying to design a way to heaven and do it on their own accord. Lord, you rebuked them. You split them up. You frustrated their ways. Lord, we don't want to be stubborn like those children. We want to be willing to change, willing to move when you tell us to move, willing to go when you tell us to go, willing to touch people that have that are bound up, willing to love people when others say, oh, you shouldn't, willing to go out of the box, willing to follow you to the ends of the earth, willing to trust you when our finite minds cannot understand it, willing to love you, Lord, when you say no, when we want you to say yes, willing to love you, Lord, when we don't understand. Lord, I pray for all my friends that today that they will let you in and say, Lord, I'm taking my hands off. You take the pen to my book. I'm taking my hand off my own pen where I write my own story. And I'm going to let you have it and let you begin writing. And I'm going to trust, Lord, that because you are the author and the finisher of my faith, that you're going to finish my story so beautiful. And you know exactly what you're doing. So help me, Lord, to hear your voice. To hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, bride. I feel good today. I love you. And I pray that you are growing every day through these idols. I am learning so much about these idols. And the whole team is. I'm building us a website, and you're going to be able to hear a lot of the testimonies of this team. You're going to see who are these people, and you're going to see how this repentance before the Lord on behalf of the church has changed their own lives. All right, bride, look, God bless you and have a good day. I hope you like these Bible studies. It's been very rewarding for me to be able to come together and break bread together. Amen. God is good. The meat of the word is so good. All right, bride, love you and God bless you.